a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meeting is held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha will celebrate its ninth year church anniversary beginning Friday, January 27th at 7 p.m. and Saturday morning, January 28th, promises to be a spirit-filled day beginning at 9 a.m. with an exciting discussion of God's Word. Praise and worship begins the divine worship service at 11 a.m. with our dynamic guest speaker, Pastor Rock Calvin Watkins of Atlanta, Georgia. Then at 5:30 p.m., Maranatha Voices of Praise will conclude the celebration with an exciting choir concert. Everyone is invited to come early for the best seats and help us lift our voices in praise to God for the wonderful things He has done. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
We'll continue talking about walking the talk. And tonight, we're specifically going to speak about walking in peace. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to go over a real familiar scripture here. Some scriptures that we've been reading for about the last 8 weeks. Verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, means that he's the atoning sacrifice or the cure for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keep it not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 6 is a powerful scripture. Amen. Amen. Verse 4 is also power. He that saith, a lot of people saying things. He that saith, I know him and keep not his commandment is a liar and the truth's not in him. I mean, just as plain and simple. If you say you know Jesus, but you're not walking in obedience, the scripture says you are a liar and that the truth's not in you. So, praise God, it make you want to shape up, doesn't it? I mean, if I say I know Jesus and I'm not obeying, I'm not keeping the word, then the scripture says, Greg, you're lying. You don't have the truth in you. If the truth's in you, if it's really in you, you're going to obey. Amen. Everybody say this. If the truth is in me, I'm going to obey. Now say it this way. Since the truth is in me, I must obey. Say, I'm going to obey because I got truth on the inside. I'm walking in the truth. I'm obedient. I know him. Amen. Amen. Now, verse 6 says, he that saith he abides in him, that means if you say Jesus living in you, that you're living in him, that you're abiding in him, you're maintaining fellowship with him. He that saith, I abide in him, I'm in fellowship with him, I'm in close communion. To abide means to dwell, to remain. It means to be living in close quarters together. So if I say that I'm living in Christ and Christ is living in me, he said, then I ought to walk just like he walked. Why? Because if you're that close to the Lord, he's talking to you. If you're living that close to him, then he's giving you instructions every day. He's telling you how to live your life, and he's not going to tell you to live contrary to the way he lived. Amen? If I'm walking with the Lord, then I got to be doing what I see him do. That means I'm going to be doing just what he would do. Amen? Praise God. I mean, think about it. If you're abiding in him, he's abiding in you. You're certainly not going to be walking opposite of him, or you're not going to be walking contrary to the way that he's walking. If you're walking together with him, then you will be living the way he lived. Amen. Why? Because if you start doing something that he don't like, he's going to tell you about it, and you're going to straighten up. Amen. Why? Because you're walking in obedience. Why are you walking in obedience? Because you're in close contact with him, and when you take a step in the wrong direction, the Holy Ghost is there to say, no, don't go that way, go this way. He keeps you acting just like Jesus. Amen. See, most people, religion will tell you you can't be like the Lord. That is the voice of religion. Religion will tell you you can't imitate God. How you going to imitate somebody you ain't never seen? See, that's all religion. Religion will not allow you to have relationship with God. Religion keeps God at a distance. Religion calls you to focus on you. Relationship with God calls you to focus on him. You're not supposed to be self-conscious. You're supposed to be God-conscious. Oh, I'm just worried about how I'm doing. No, think about how God is. Your mind's supposed to be on God, right? You're supposed to keep your eyes on Jesus, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finish of our faith. Amen. We're supposed to be looking at him. I don't find nowhere in the Bible where it says, look at me. Now, it tells me to examine myself. That's the only time I'm supposed to look, when I'm examining, when I'm looking for something that ain't like him. Hallelujah. Praise God. My eyes supposed to be primarily on him. Because if I want to live like he lived, then I've got to see how he lived. Amen. And the Holy Spirit came to reveal to us the things of Christ. The Holy Spirit shows us how to live just like Jesus lived. Everybody say, I can live just like Jesus. I can walk just like he walked. Can you walk just like Jesus walked? Can you live just like he lived? Do you have the power that he has? Huh? Do you have the same life in you that he has? You do. Do you have victory just like he had victory? Do you have peace like he had peace? Do you have his joy in you? Yes. You have his strength in you? Yes. You have his nature in you? Yes. Then how come you can't walk just like him? Yes. Are you a new creature?
Yes.
With some new features?
Yes.
Did the old things pass away?
Yes.
Is everything becoming new right now?
Yes.
Are you a joint heir with Jesus?
Yes.
Are you an heir of God?
Yes.
Are you the righteousness of God in Christ?
Yes.
You are. You all of that?
Yes,
you redeemed?
Yes.
Glory to God. You a royal priesthood?
Yes.
Holy nation?
Yes.
Peculiar people?
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Boy, the devil gonna have trouble with y'all.
Yes.
See, when you believe these kind of things, he gonna have trouble with you. See, you ain't gonna go along with the program. See, the devil like people go along with the program. They easy. He like easy Christians. Easy Christians don't know nothing. They stay ignorant. They think they walking with God and walking with the devil. Now, let me ask you this here. If you are living in close quarters with the devil, and he's abiding in you and you abiding in him, who you gonna act like? Are you gonna walk just like he walked? Huh? It makes sense, don't it? If you hang out with the devil, who you going to start acting like? All right, you hang out with Jesus, who's going to start acting like?
Jesus.
All right, so it's not so hard to walk like Jesus walk if you fellowship with him all the time. If you hang out with the devil all the time, you're going to start acting like him. You're going to pick up some of his characteristics. Right? And the devil is ugly. He mean. Y'all don't hear me say it again. No, I see it in here. He's like, mean. The devil's a mean devil. Full of hatred. He's full of bitterness. All he think about is stealing, killing, and destroying. I mean, you wouldn't even hang out with a human being that was like that. If you had a serial killer that wanted to go home with you and spend the night with you, would you let him? Huh? You wouldn't let a serial killer in your house? Why? Because she say, because she got sense. What if he say, I ain't going to harm you? I ain't going to mess with you. You can sleep peacefully. How many of you would sleep peacefully if you had to, if you didn't have a choice? Huh? She said, if God would tell you. You know what? The truth is, even if God told you to let him spend the night, you'd be sleeping one eye open. Have the door locked from top to the bottom, chair up against the door. Make sure you got your phone charged up. 911 on speed dial. Oh, yeah. See, that's the way the devil is. But see, people invite the devil in all the time, and he worse than the worst serial killer that you know. He hold out worse company than that. But he's sneaky, and he'll try to befriend you so he can stab you in the back. Actually, he's so cruel, he stab you in the front side. He stab you in the chest. He hit you and then point the blame at God, put a finger and say, look what God did to you. Because he's a major liar. He's a liar. So I can see this here now. That this, I'm glad God gave me that tonight. I'm so glad he gave that to me. Because we can see the principle so clearly that if you hang out with the devil, you're going to pick up his mannerisms. You're going to pick up his ways. You're going to be just like him. The more you hang out with him, the more evil you're going to become as a human being. Because there's no good in him. There's no truth in him. There's nothing good in the devil. And you can see this principle that if you're abiding in the devil and the devil's abiding in you, you're going to walk just like he walked. You're going to be doing the things that he would do. Why? Because he'll be there telling you what to do. Yeah. Hey, do this here. Go tell them off. If they say anything, just jack them up. I mean, the devil have you doing crazy things, right? Because he crazy. So I can see this principle that if I hang out with Jesus regular and I let him speak into my life and I want a fellowship with him, and I'm inviting him every day, Jesus, come live with me. Jesus, be with me today. Show yourself. Reveal yourself to me. I want to do just like you do. I'm going to tell you, the Lord will start revealing himself to you, and he'll start teaching you. He'll start leading you and guiding you, and before you know it, you got the fruit of the Spirit in you. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such, the Bible says, there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection thereof. Hallelujah. So I can walk just like Jesus walked. Amen. Amen. Everybody say it. I can walk just like Jesus walked. When I hang out with him, when I live in his presence, he's going to teach me how to live. Hallelujah. That's another good point right there, is that the Holy Spirit was given to us to teach us how to live so that our lives are pleasing to God. Now, do you think he's going to teach you how to live opposite from the way Jesus lived? No, Jesus gave us an example that we should follow in his steps. Praise God. Boy, by now this word ought to be getting down in us. I mean, if we're meditating on these truths every week, that, hey, I can live just like Jesus lived, there ought to be something rising up in you that when the devil try to get you to act stupid, that you're walking with God so close, and you say, no, Jesus wouldn't do that. That ain't the way Jesus walked. I ain't walking like that. I ain't acting like that. And when you start noticing things in your personality and your character that's out of line, then you ought to be repenting right now. You ought to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I did it. I lost my temper. I'm so sorry. Oh, that ain't God. Oh, that ain't Jesus right there. Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, I shouldn't have went there. I shouldn't have watched that. I shouldn't be thinking like this. Amen. I had some thoughts early this morning about somebody that promised to do something for me. Not anybody in this church. But it ain't happening. It's been over a month. So I was thinking, well, I need to write them a letter. And I need to put some teeth in it. Boy, I just need to tell them off real good. Somebody that's supposed to know better. So I'm rising up on the inside. I'm going to write this letter here. I'm going to forget about what they said they were going to do for me. And I'm going to go on and I'll get the help somewhere else. Boy, I'm thinking like that. And then I caught myself and said, wait a minute. I ain't supposed to be thinking like that. I say, the fact that I'm thinking like that means that stuff that they was going to send me is probably on the way. And the devil trying to get me all bent out of shape with them, and they probably done released that, and it may be a couple of days I'm going to get it in the mail. I say, why would I be thinking about that today anyway? Probably because they done responded. Then you know how you think bad of somebody? They ain't going to do nothing. Then you turn around and they done did it. Then you're like, oh, my. Oh. I talked about them like a dog, and they came through. Oh, and I went and told so-and-so, and I told, let me backtrack. Hey, remember what I said about so-and-so the other day? I didn't mean it, baby. They just blessed as they can be. Forget I said that. Forgive me for gossiping. Some of us ain't that bold to just come out and say it, though. We just say, just forgive me for, you know, sharing my heart the way I did. You know how we sugarcoat what we do. Forgive me, I just kind of had a bad day and, things just didn't come out like I meant them to, I rebuked the devil. I said, I ain't going to hold them kind of thoughts. I refuse to go in the direction. See, that would have messed my whole day up. I've been all day, got other things to do, trying to squeeze that into my agenda with that evilness on my mind. Everybody say that evilness. See, you need to identify the evilness that's in your life. And deal with it and put it under the blood and cast down those evil imaginations. Amen. The Bible says those imaginations are wicked when they don't come from God. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants you to walk in peace. Yeah. All right, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. All right, Jesus is our example in peace. Praise God, because God wants you to be free from anxiety. Amen. He wants you free from fear and frustration. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord don't want you worried about anything. Amen. He wants you to walk in peace. And sometimes when we start walking in fear and walking in things that agitate our mind, that disturb us, and we start walking in all that kind of stuff, then the Lord can't really reach us like he want to reach us. You can't receive the blessing of the Lord while you're holding on to evil. Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse 6, talking about Jesus here. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, do you think that the Prince of Peace walked in peace? How often did the Prince of Peace walk in peace? All the time. All right, so if Jesus walked in peace every day, no matter what was going on, he had peace, amen, he had the peace of God in him. He had peace working in him all the time, in every situation, he walked in peace. In fact, he never walked out of peace. He had the peace of God. Y'all remember when he was asleep on the pillow on the boat? The Bible says that the water began to come into the ship. The boat was now full of water, and they were really afraid. They say, Lord, don't you care that we're about to die? And what did Jesus do? He got up, looked at the storm, and said, peace. Be still. Why? That's the prince talking. That's the prince of peace talking. When he say peace, I mean everything got to listen. And the Bible says that there was a great calm. Immediately, the wind stopped blowing. The water settled down and got smooth. And the disciples got scared. Because then they say, what kind of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. What manner of man have we come in contact with? That this man can talk to the wind. This man can talk to the sea. What kind of man is this? It's the same kind of man that's living in you. Hallelujah. You ought to be able to speak to some storms in your life and say, peace. Be still right now. Hallelujah. See, Jesus giving us the example. That's what you do when your life is threatened, when you think that the end doesn't come. I'm going to tell you, there's a time for you that you need to just stand up and say, I command peace now. Why? Because the Prince of Peace is living in you. The Bible says God is the God of all peace. Hallelujah. The woman that got healed from that infirmity, she was 12 years bleeding. And when she got healed, Jesus said, go in peace and be whole of your plague. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, there's a time you just need to say, go in peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is, I'm going to tell you, peace is not some little easygoing, you know, just something that don't do nothing, you know, just a feeling that you get. It's more than a feeling. Peace is a warrior. Because when peace come on the scene, agitation and fear and anxiety and worry have to bow its knee. When you start walking in peace, I'm going to tell you, fear have to bow down. Anxiety have to bow down. Worry have to bow down. Being agitated in your mind have to bow down to peace when peace come rolling in. Hallelujah. The Bible says, live at peace with all men as much as lie in you. Hallelujah. You're supposed to have peace. You got the Prince of Peace that done come to live inside of you, and he walks with you and talks with you every day. Don't tell me you can't speak peace over some situation. If Jesus could speak to the wind and the sea, so can I. I can do just what he did. See, he said, the works that I do shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it for you. It ain't me doing it, it's him doing it. I speak the word, he does the work. I'm supposed to speak the word in faith, not in unbelief, not in fear. See, if you speak peace in fear, hey, that ain't faith. Faith, peace means there's something to happen. Nothing to change around here now. See, Jesus didn't get up and say, well, I'm going to try. Let me try this. Oh, boy, I hope this works. All of us going to drown out here. Can you hear? Can you imagine him thinking like that? Now, look, it's storming out there. The wind is blowing. Water coming in the boat. He back there sleep on a pillow. Through all that turmoil, you know you ain't quiet when water coming in the boat. You be out on the lake and let all the water start coming in. I tell you what, there's some people keeping some noise, hollering at other boats. Jesus still back there asleep. He got peace. He done already told him, let's go to the other side. He sleep. And then when they say, hey, we done tried to dip the water out, water coming in fast and we can dip. It's filling up, the boat about to sink. And then Jesus looked at them. When he got up, he said, peace, be still. And everything immediately just changed. My God. Then guess what happened? He looked at them and he said, how is it you don't have no faith? Y'all could have took care of this. Why y'all didn't take care of this? Wake me up. Why? He been teaching them faith all along. He spoke to the wind obeyed. He spoke to a tree dried up. He spoke to the devils, they came out. He spoke to the sick, they got healed.
teaching them the power of their words under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How come you don't have no faith? That's what he asked them. How come y'all don't have no faith? Well, what was he expecting? He was expecting them to act just like him. Ain't nobody on the boat had enough courage to speak to that wind and say, shut up out there. But the prince was on the boat. Thank God the prince on the boat.
Amen.
Hey, if you can't get your faith going, at least you got the prince still with you. Amen. Wake him up. Because he ain't sleep. Amen. But say, Jesus! See, I ain't never found Jesus rebuking nobody for having too much faith. He rebuked them for not having enough. He walked in peace. He wants you to walk in peace. Peace ought to not be somewhere that you live every now and then. Let me tell you something. People is paying money for peace. Some people trying to find peace in the bottom of a bottle. Some people trying to find peace in drugs. Some trying to find it in sex. Some of them trying to find it in power and influence and control over other people. People, I'm going to tell you, our world is thirsting and starving for peace of mind. People need peace in their home. How many of you know you go in a home and it's full of turmoil and there's fussing and fighting and cussing, people throwing stuff at one another? That ain't the will of God. They'd give anything to have peace. You know, some boy, if I could just get some peace. I remember when we were all little, my daddy used to say, I used to hear him say every now and then, we'd be done tore up something, fussing, fight with each other. You know, just ain't no telling what we done that day. But it's enough, you know, and all these things build over days. You know how your children do. They just build on you, build and build. And then sometime when dad is topped with blow, he'd say, boy, boy, boy. If I could just turn back the hands of time. If I could just turn back the hands of time. He would use that line. That means if I had it to do over again, we wouldn't have had all these children. He's not talking about not marrying mama because she was all right. He's talking about us. If I could turn back the hands of time. He said, if I could go back, I'd do it over. I'd do some things different. And then sometimes that would be one line of you. Then another time he used a line like this. He say, boy, sometimes I just wish I could just run as far away from here as I can get. Sometimes I just want to take off running and just run. You know when it get like that, you like, you just want to run from your problem, run from your trouble. And then daddy turn around and say, boy, y'all better thank God for me, because most men wouldn't take what I'm taking off y'all. They'd be gone. They would be gone. Y'all about to try to kill me and your mama around here. And mama knew how to keep her peace. Something go on. I'm going to tell your daddy. Just wait till your daddy get home. She ain't getting upset. She shake her head. And, hey, I'm going to tell your daddy when you get home. Oh, mama, you whoop us. You whoop us, mama. Please. Please, mama. Nope. Tell your daddy. She kept her peace. She learned how to walk in peace. Just tell her daddy. Tell daddy. Boy, we didn't want her to tell daddy. Sometimes life get like that, where you just want to run. Sometimes you wish you could go back and do it over again. Boy, if I could just turn around and live it over again, I'd do it different. Well, you know, we don't have that option. So we have to deal with where we are. And we don't deal with it with fleshly tools. You understand? If you get in the flesh and all you're doing is flesh stuff, all you're going to do is compound the problem. And you're going to want to run more. No, God wants you to have peace. He don't want you to ever get to that breaking point to where you don't.